are brave when we sing that song. Yes, you may be seated. We're brave to say, all my life you have been faithful. And it also reminds us to look for those moments, to give thanks to those moments where God has actually pursued us with his goodness. And so we say, with faith, all my life you have been faithful. This past 2 weeks, people that we care about have experienced deep losses in their lives. And so I want to acknowledge that this morning, Brianna and family, we're so sorry for the death of your mom. We're praying for you and with you, yeah. Lee and Lois, we grieve with you the death of Lee's brother and Lois, your brother-in-law, Ross Steckley. And know that we are praying for the family and for you and Ross and Faye. We're good friends of the Gathering Church, and so many of us hold memories of Ross. And so we bless you in this time of grief and invite God's peace to sustain you. Estefanos was part of the first family that we, the Gathering Church, sponsored to come to Canada. And many of us hold dear, dear memories of the invitation to sponsor G'day and Estefanos to come. And we joined together as a faith community to welcome and support them. And so we grieved with the G'day and family the death of Estefanos a couple of weeks ago. And G'day and his wife are here this morning, a guest set. And we invite you to come forward, G'day. You can come up to the front. Negaset as well, and Lindsay and Nagisti are going to come as well. G'day has asked that they receive a blessing from the Gathering Church. One of the things Estefanos often did when he was here, Jordan recalled when I was talking to Terry and Jordan about Estefanos, his death, Jordan said, I remember him. He always sat in the back row, and he brought the church cookies. And that was something Estefanos did as a gift to the Gathering Church. And so this morning, G'day has honored his dad in that way, that he has brought cookies for our time of refreshment. And so we will enjoy those with memories, G'day. And we want to just to let you know that we grieve with you, and we are thankful to God that Estefanos is in perfect peace with God, and we know that you believe that as well. And so we'll just come and lay hands on you. And Gathering Church, often we raise a hand of blessing. God, as we pause this morning, we give thanks for the faith-filled life of Estefanos. We thank you, God, that he lived a long life. God, I thank you that you gave him courage and strength and vision to make a hard journey to a new country. And I thank you that he loved being here. Thank you that Estefanos became a very humble and quiet part of the Gathering Church. God, we thank you that as you welcomed Estefanos on his first day of life, that you also welcomed him into your tender care as he took his last breath. And so, though we grieve Estefanos' death, and though we know that G'day and family miss him, we thank you that he is with you, and that he knows your perfect peace. And God, we pray this same peace and your companionship and your healing for G'day and his wife and family. God, would you be their comfort? Would you be their peace? Would you be present to them in this time of grieving? God, bring to mind for them the many, many rich memories of their time with Estefanos. God, thank you for G'day, for the faithfulness he has shown as a son, for tending so deeply to his father. May you be a really special encouragement to G'day in the days ahead. So as the Gathering Church family, we offer God's blessing upon you. May you know his peace in the days ahead. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, Debbie and Barb led us in a hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And as we sang the first line of the second verse, I realized that I was singing something that I didn't understand or I couldn't recall at the time. And I pay close attention to what I'm singing and to what we invite you to sing. And the line in the hymn was, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." And I didn't know at the time who or what or maybe where Ebenezer was. And so that afternoon I went home and I Googled it. And over the last couple weeks I've spent some time learning about Ebenezer. And so I discovered that, so this is why we're doing this message this morning actually, is we have been invited to sing that song and I just will sing it again. And I think it's important that we look into what is the biblical context, what is the meaning behind Ebenezer, or the words that we often sing together. So I discovered that Ebenezer is both a geological location and it is a memorial made of stone that within scripture, the stone reminds us to mark and to proclaim the work of God in our lives. Ebenezer, the geological location, is found in 1 Samuel 4:1, where it says, "Now the Israelites went out to fight against the Philistines. The Israelites camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines camped at Aphek." And during this time, the Israelites suffered a devastating defeat at the hands of the Philistines at this place called Ebenezer. As I kept reading through 1 Samuel, I became quickly aware that I was reading of battles, of violence, and of the loss of many lives. And it was not easy reading, and the words of Scripture are actually quite graphic. And when I find myself reading about passages of conflict and violence, I acknowledge that I don't really know what to do with them or what to think. And so I want to say this morning that while I'm taking a passage out of these scenes where battles and violence were happening, I'm not going to address the violence this morning. I just want to say that up front, and I'm sure one day we might have conversations about that. So Ebenezer, as a memorial to God's faithfulness, is found in 1 Samuel 7. And as I've noted, this is a period of history that's marked with great conflict, and Israel was under constant threat from the Philistines, and they were just like this daunting enemy who frequently sought to dominate the Israelites. And the Israelites were losing the battles. The Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, and again, we could talk about this another Sunday morning. This is like representing the presence of God. So that being stolen from them, taken from them, was just a deep, significant spiritual loss for them. And in this time of losing battles and losing what they believed was the presence of God, the Israelites were deeply disheartened. And they turned to what we could call, from a couple weeks ago, we learned about these broken cisterns. And they were worshiping other gods. So when we meet the Israelites in 1 Samuel 7, we read of a turning point in their journey. Scripture reads, "Then all the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, 'If you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, then rid yourselves of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths,'" which were the female counterparts of the god Baal, "'and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines.' So the Israelites put away their Baals and Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. On that day in Mizpah, they fasted, and there they confessed, 'We have sinned against the Lord.'" And their people returned to God, but the battles continued. I'll continue to read. "When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, 'Do not stop crying out to the Lord for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines.' Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. When Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day, the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. he named it Ebenezer, which means the stone of help, saying, thus far, the Lord has helped us. In this passage, we see Samuel crying out to God for help. We see God answering Samuel's prayer in a very dramatic and unexpected way, crashing thunder that disoriented the Philistines. And we see Samuel setting up a stone and calling it Ebenezer, which means a stone of help. And he set this up to mark and to proclaim God's faithfulness and presence. Samuel, on behalf of the Israelites, declares, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Even though they had come through really, really hard battles. The Ebenezer stone was a great symbol to the people of God. Though scripture doesn't provide a description of the stone, it is reasonable for us to believe that this is a standing stone, like a really large stone, similar to other memorial stones that are found in scripture. And these stones were often placed upright and served as lasting reminders to the people of a significant act of God. In 1 Samuel 7, the stone, or their Ebenezer, is a tangible reminder of God's providence and assistance in their time of need. The Expositor's Bible states, it was no doubt a testimony to a special help obtained in that time of trouble. It was a grateful recognition of that help, and it was an enduring monument to perpetuate the memory of it. And this is why we sing, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." Raising an Ebenezer is not just a historical artifact, but it's a living symbol of faith. It calls us to recognize God's ongoing activities in our lives. Just as Samuel set up a stone to mark God's help, we too are invited to acknowledge the moments when God has provided us in creative and meaningful ways. As we remember and proclaim these moments, we foster a deep sense of gratitude, and our faith is strengthened, reminding us that we are never alone and that God's help is ever present. I appreciate this morning when Susanna says she has a journal that she records what she considers to be miracles, and this is a way she raises an Ebenezer stone. Blogger Vanessa Myers describes Ebenezer moments in these ways. Ebenezer moments are times when you know without a doubt that God has intervened in your life. You realize that only God could have allowed the outcomes that you have experienced. His help brought you through. So this week I asked Terry, Jordan, and Mallory to name Ebenezer moments in our family. Moments that without a doubt, we believe that God intervened and helped us. Terry, Jordan, and I had a conversation about this, and Mallory texted her answers, her responses to me. I asked them to participate with me because I was curious to see if we would name any of the same moments, if all four of us would name a same moment, and we did. And Terry's already tearing, so I won't look at him. So all four of us recalled what we name an English-speaking angel on the bus in Quebec City. This is our title. So about 15 years ago, as a family, we spent 4 days in Quebec City. And that year, the city was hosting free Cirque du Soleil plays, shows, after dark. And so we drove from our hotel to a shopping center, and we parked there, and then we hopped on a bus to get to the show. And the show was absolutely amazing. And after the show, which was just before midnight, we joined tons of people getting onto buses to go back to their places. We hopped on the bus that we thought would take us back to our car. And at each stop, more and more people kept getting off of the bus until we were the only ones left with the bus driver. The bus came to a stop in the middle of nowhere. It was very, very dark. It felt like we were kind of in an empty field. And the French bus driver just kept trying to usher us off the bus. And we had no idea where we were. And we could not make the driver understand that this is not where we were supposed to be and that we were very, very lost. And he just kept pointing us to the exit doors and kind of ushering us to get off of the bus. And then all of a sudden, a person that we had not seen on the bus spoke up in English. "Can I help you?" We described to him our situation, and he spoke in French to the bus driver, who told him, and then he told us, that we are at the end of the line, and this is where the bus parks for the night. So a little more panic was settling into us because we did not know where we were. And then this English-speaking young adult began the work of translating our situation to the driver. And back and forth they went. "Where is your car? Where are you staying? What can you remember about where you parked?" And then all of a sudden, this English-speaking angel said, "The driver is going to drive you to your car, and I will stay with you until we find it." The peace of God settled into us. And that's really what happened. This bus driver and the person that we deemed an angel drove us until we found our car. And because we had no idea where we were, this meant that the driver, like seriously, with such deep patience, drove us all around Quebec City until we found the shopping mall parking lot that we had parked at. This moment, it was and it remains a very holy moment in our family's life. All four of us recalled this intervention of God. And over the years, we have retold this story often to each other and to others. It is definitely an Ebenezer in our lives, a reminder that God has been with us throughout our lives, and thus far, the Lord has helped us. The exercise sparked in us memories of the many times we have experienced the goodness of God. I asked Mallory, Terry, and Jordan just to name kind of 3 to 5 times that they felt that God had been faithful or intervened in our lives, but we've just kept on sharing other times over this past week. We've shed tears, we've expressed awe and thanksgiving, and we were really reminded again that we do not journey alone. I also want to note that as a family, we have experienced what we would define as considerable hardship, that we've known, again, what we define as suffering, and we have prayers that have gone unanswered. And we haven't always been able to see God in our midst of what we were experiencing right at that moment. However, remembering our Ebenezers is and was this past week a really great strength of source that I hope we will return to in times that seem hard and challenging. These times are reminders for us to lean into God's promises and to wait in hope through all situations. In our Christian faith, Ebenezer has come to represent the practice of remembering and of acknowledging God's work in our lives. It encourages us to set up stones of help, whether literal or metaphorical, as testimonies to God's faithfulness. And these memorials, again, they serve to bolster our faith, especially in times of trial, reminding us again that thus far, the Lord has helped us. Ebenezer also points us to the communal nature of our faith. Samuel realized that this stone was not just for himself, but it was also for all the people to see and to remember. Last Sunday morning, a few people shared their testimony of thanksgiving during our morning worship service. This morning, our youth shared some of the moments that they will remember from their retreat. And one of the many, many goals of the church is to remind each other of what God has done. And going forward, we are going to continue to share moments. We're going to continue to share stories of God's faithfulness to us as a church as a means of encouragement and a reminder that we too have stones of help to raise as a way of testifying to God this far. It was interesting to me that one of Mallory's Ebenezer moments was when the gathering church was invited to come to Chandler Mowat. And I thought it was curious that Mallory when we're talking about family moments, said an invitation to serve and be present at Chandler Mowat, because that became something, often holy moments for our family and for this church. 1 John is written to the church at large, and in chapter 1 there is a reminder to proclaim the good works of God for the purposes of building up our community. It reads, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." They proclaimed what they were seeing and what they were hearing to make their joy complete. Over the past few weeks, we have connected stories from the Old Testament with stories from the New Testament. And in the four Gospels, we read of the many stories of miracles and of healings and of changed lives. And we return to these biblical stories time after time to deepen our faith in understanding the ways of Jesus. In Sunday school, Ellen and the leaders teach these stories to the children in creative ways, building up their biblical knowledge and growing their faith. In youth group on Wednesday night, the leaders guide the youth in learning the stories of Scripture. In small groups, we study topics related to God and Scripture together. Stories in Scripture that we return to become our Ebenezers. They are living memorials that we return to throughout our lives to remind us of God's activities and the foundation on which our faith is built. Ebenezer also teaches us to look forward with confidence. If God has helped us this far, if God has sustained us this far, then hopefully this will inspire our trust in God, that God will sustain us through all the different circumstances in our lives. So how might we raise our Ebenezer? We can recount them, and we can talk about them. I love the description in Deuteronomy 6 about how we are to talk about the covenants of God. And I believe this instruction applies to recounting Ebenezer moments. This is what it says. "Listen, O Israel, listen, gathering church. The Lord is God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as a reminder. Write them down on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Repeat them again and again and again throughout your days." I encourage you to sit with your family, with your friends, with folks from the gathering church, to recount and to talk about your Ebenezers. Also, write them down. Journal about them. Make a note in your Bible. These Ebenezers become living records of God's faithfulness to you, to us. Again, I appreciated that Susanna has a dear friend who knew about her journal of miracles and said, "Why don't you return to read through those this week?" She would have known that Susanna likely needed some encouragement, some reminder of God's presence in her life. And so Susanna read through this journal. She was encouraged again. She was reminded again of God's presence in her life so far. Let all of these be an encouragement to you that God is present with you. I would also encourage each of us to use these Ebenezer moments as a spiritual practice. There's going to be a slide, Hannah, with a picture of some rocks on it. There we go. Thanks, Hannah, for stepping in for Wazir. So, something that many of you know is that I love being at Sabo Beach. And so last weekend during a beach walk, I went to this place, and it's a place where this wall of rocks or this pathway of big stones are heading out into the water. And so I stood on the sand at the top of this row of stones, and I used it as a place of meditating on God's goodness through Ebenezer moments in my own life. I used each stone as a stone of help, and I named what I believe to be monumental moments of God's help and presence in my own life. The first five or six stones I could name quite easily. There are ones that are dear to my heart that I would say quickly to you. And then I just stood there, and I went out for more stones and more stones. And it was just this time of reminding me the importance of remembering, of naming, and being encouraged by the presence of God. And I walked away so very, very deeply inspired and thankful. And I know, because I know this place well, that I will return there often. And when I return there, I believe that I will be able to name more Ebenezer moments, because God will remain faithful in my life and in our life. So I invite you to talk about these moments, to write them down, to meditate on them, to let them be an encouragement and a reminder to you. So what we're going to do is we're going to take about 5 minutes, and you've been given just a Ebenezer, let's call it, image, and we're going to take about 5 minutes to remember our Ebenezer moments. So I'm going to give some instruction. You are welcome to do this alone, or you can do this with the person or the people that you came with, or you can join with 3 or 4 people around you. No pressure to do it, except just the way you want to do it. If you want to do this with someone that you came with this morning, this would be a time to say, hey, let's try to think about Ebenezer moments in our life together. And so you can do that together. But what we're going to do first is I'm going to time us for a minute. And in that moment of quiet, we're just going to reflect on Ebenezer moments in our lives. You can write them down on the stone, or you can just take this as a visual reminder this week. And then after that minute, I will say amen. And then you are invited, if you would like to share with those around you, or you can stay simply in a posture of reflection. So a posture of reflection will just help you say, please don't interrupt me. You can just keep your head down and be in that reflection if you don't want to join in a group this morning, which is totally, totally fine. So, does everybody have a Ebenezer? Great. And a pen? Susanna will hand some out if you want. So let's just go into a quiet moment of reflection. And at this time, we invite God to bring to mind moments where he has been faithful, and where we want to set up a stone of help. Let's go into time of quiet. Amen. You may take a couple of seconds to write something down on your stone or on your phone, or just remember. And then if you would like to, I'm going to take the next 3 minutes just to share with someone beside us, or just to do a time of gratitude with God. You can enter into that time now. Welcome to have loud conversation in the gym as we share.